morning.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Good. How are you doing, Betty?
Very good, thank you.
Good for you.
Are you on your way to work, or are you at home today?
I'm taking a day off working on the last little things of the taxes.
It is just about time, huh?
Yes, yeah. Way past time.
I know. I was late this year, too. I don't know if I'm going to have to do an extension or not. We'll see what the tax man has to say.
Yep. I think I'll probably do an extension, but I think I'll have everything ready. I'll just do an extension just because.
Yeah.
So.
So what's new and different with you? Anything happening?
Not really what's a business, just I've been worrying about other things. And hopefully to get this monkey off my back.
Has arrived.
That will make it so I can start concentrating on the business.
Oh, well, that'll be good.
Yep. We've got a big trip coming up. We're actually coming out to New York. And son-in-law's graduation from graduate school.
And oh, very nice.
So doing that in May, so we're hoping to be, you know, the first 2 weeks of May, so we're looking forward to hopefully being able to see Nancy on the way through as she recovers.
Oh, great.
So,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've been talking
that's
to her now for, what, 7 years?
Yes.
And, as of March 24th, had never met her, so.
Sure. Has arrived.
So that would be fun if we can pull that off, because we'll be going right through Cleveland on the freeway.
Wow, that's great.
So, stopping at Kirtland.
That would be wonderful.
Want to stop at Kirtland on the way through. So,
yeah.
So, hope we can pull it off. Hope she's feeling up to it at that point.
Has arrived.
I hear other people have joined Steve and I. Anybody want to say hi?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
hi,
Nancy.
Good.
Good morning,
guys.
I'm okay.
Anybody else?
This is Shark.
I posted a link last night to the part of the episode that you were talking about, Nancy, yesterday on Dr. Oz.
Oh, thank you.
And if by any small chance, I've been too busy to listen to the calls from Monday and Tuesday, so if anybody wants to send me some notes that they took, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Because this next week, I'm not going to have time to listen when I'm listening, I'm not, when I'm busy or we're traveling, I just can't concentrate well enough to listen and do what I'm doing, so I have to go back and listen to the call later to be able to do the review, so that's why, Betty, your little notes are so amazing, so.
Oh, glad I can help, Steve. Anything to make it simpler for you.
Yeah, so if anybody can take notes this week and send them to me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back on mute and listen to everybody. So have fun.
Linda Morse
has arrived.
Well, anybody else have any comments or concerns or anything going on in their life that they need to talk about today as far as Tens and Ballads as well? Oh, I should say Vital Balance because that's the important part of it. But concerns? concerns?
Just that I've got a positive addiction to it, which I think I'm happy for.
And I wonder why, Char. It's like the day doesn't begin right if I don't have that. It's absolutely, when I get up, I do crave it.
You crave that good feeling, don't you?
Linda Morse
has arrived. You know, I wonder if there's anything wrong with that. It's kind of like having the good feeling from clean air and brushing your teeth and all of those kinds of things. That's, you know, when people says, do these things become addictive? I said, almost certainly. Is it, how do you feel about having an addiction to brushing your teeth and getting a good night's sleep and, you know, all of those things?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Once, I hadn't even thought about it in connection with that. All the things we do that make us feel good, and healthier as well throughout the day. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, that good addiction is just, because addiction is usually a negative word, but the good addiction is just like a good habit is all I can say. And that's probably a nicer way of saying it that will stick in a more positive way in their mind, but, yeah, I love the results of it, and you know, it's like they ask me, well, which product is the most important to you, and I go, well, you know, that's kind of hard to say. It's kind of like choosing between children that you've given birth to. How would you choose between them? You can't.
Right.
Depends on the day. It depends on the day.
It depends on the day. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, you are right, Nancy.
There's more than one. They know that that's true if they really think about it.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, absolutely. But, yes, I look forward to the mornings to start it off with that a positive beginning. I was just, does anybody have anything else before I move on? I was going back to do some more reading in Eat to Live, Joel Fuhrman's book, and the next thing that I was reading was Confusion in the Marketplace Over the Role of Fiber. And I thought that was really interesting because I think we get that in more than fiber, the confusion that reigns in the marketplace, because we're told every day something that's good is, oh, no, that's no longer the truth, and that's no good, and we...
Mary Lou
has arrived.
Does somebody else just join us that wants to say hi?
It's Mary Lou. Hi.
Hi, Mary Lou. Good to hear you.
Thank you.
So, it says some people are so confused that they do not know what to believe anymore. For example, two studies about fiber received sensational coverage by the media after appearing in the New York England Journal of Medicine. Newspapers proclaimed the bold headlines, high fiber diet does not protect against colon cancer. And I remember reading that oh so well and having a big to-do on the newscast about that being presented as well. No wonder our population is so confused by conflicting messages about nutrition. Some people have actually given up trying to eat healthfully because one day they hear one claim and the next week they hear the opposite. There's a lesson to be learned here. Don't get your health advice from the media. I think that's an exceptional statement. Anybody else have any comments about that?
Well, does Oz constitute the media? I mean, you know, where's that fine line of where they're saying media?
Well, but I think they are saying, like, just the newscasts, broadcasts that go out all the time, and Oz is a whole different thing, don't you think? Because he presents both sides and tries to track down the things that are claimed that are not so true.
I
would put history research or education that we need to look at. You know, you can't obviously use everything that he does as far as from what direction are we going to take this. And, you know, we've all got this same idea. I think it's common denominator. We're not on a diet. We're just on improving our lifestyle. A diet is something you go on and off of. And there's lots of those that he presents to people only with, you know, my thing, the way I view it is he's only trying to do something to motivate people to start or bring their awareness up and then let them get started going through their journey of how they're going to go about improving their health. That's my definition to it now. After the amount of time that I've spent on, you know, just listening to him, it doesn't mean you have to hang on every word. And that you have to devote an hour to sitting down and doing it if you don't have the time. But you can listen to it like you would listen to anything else, and you're going to pull the things out that are pertinent to you. Would you agree, Nancy? Betty?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. That's the way I view him, too, as just an educational tool. He isn't... it's not the sensationalism that's presented through newscasts and the headlines on the paper and everything else that are trying to grab whatever reader they can. That's not his approach. So anyway, it goes on to say, I'm bringing up this issue so you realize not to jump to conclusions on the basis of one study or one news report. You can see how research information is often misreported in the news. I have reviewed more than 2,000 nutritional research papers in preparation for this book and many more in prior years, and there's not much conflicting evidence. As in the trial, the evidence has become overwhelming and irrefutable. High-fiber foods offer significant protection against both cancer, including colon cancer, and heart disease. I didn't say fiber. I said high-fiber foods. We can't just add a high-fiber candy bar or sprinkle a little Metamucil on a donut and french fries and expect to reap the benefits of eating high-fiber foods. Yet this is practically what the first study did. The studies mentioned above did not show that a diet high in fresh fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, and raw nuts and seeds does not protect against colon cancer. It has already been adequately demonstrated in hundreds of observational studies that such a diet does offer such protection from cancer at multiple sites, including the colon. The first study merely added a fiber supplement to the diet. I wouldn't expect adding a 13.5 gram fiber supplement to the disease-causing American diet to do anything. It is surprising that this study was actually conducted. Obviously, adding supplemental fiber does not capture the essence of a diet rich in these protective plant foods. The second study compared controls against a group of people who were counseled on improving their diet. The participants continued to follow their usual disease-causing diet and made only a moderate dietary change, a slight reduction in fat intake, with a modest increase in fruits and vegetables for 4 years. The number of colorectal adenomas 4 years later was similar. Colorectal adenomas are not colon cancers. They are benign polyps. Only a very small percentage of these polyps ever advance to become colon cancer, and the clinical significance of small benign adenomas is not clear. In any case, it is a huge leap to claim that a diet high in fruits and vegetables does not protect against cancer. This study did not even attempt to address colon cancer, just benign polyps, and rarely progress to cancer. You know, that's something that really amazes me, too, because I don't know that I ever knew that those polyps never did go into a cancer, for the most part. so that was a whole new eye-opener for me, and puts a whole different slant on the colonoscopy as well, I think, in my mind.
They have the potential to, which is why they remove them, Betty.
Right.
And there's no right. guarantee one way or the other, but it's better to get them out.
Yeah, but you know what, Nancy, I think that that it takes that that fear that you have when you hear there was a polyp removed, takes that fear down a notch or two.
You're talking about the fear of getting colon cancer?
Yeah.
Well, certainly that, you know, if you have polyps, my understanding is that's why they, instead of telling you to go back in 10 years, if you've had polyps, they will tell you to go back in 5, because apparently your colon has the propensity to generate more polyps. And the easiest way to not get colon cancer is to get them out of there.
Yeah, I get that. So that's, but it just kind of made me a little more relaxed about it instead of being uptight about it.
Oh, okay, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. I've never had that problem, so it isn't an issue with me, apparently, and I'm grateful for that. So,
sure. Well, I remember how shocked I was when he had them.
Pardon me?
I remember when I was so shocked that he had polyps.
Oh, yes. Yes, when he had that done on his program on TV.
Right.
Yeah. In both studies, even the group supposedly consuming a high-fiber intake were on a low-fiber diet by my standards. The group consuming the most fiber only ate 25 grams of fiber a day. A high fiber intake is a marker of many anti-cancer properties of natural foods, especially phytochemicals. The diet plan I recommend is not based on any one study, but on more than 2,000 studies and the results I've seen with thousands of my own patients. Following this plan, you will consume between 50 and 100 grams of fiber from real food, not supplements, per day.
100 grams? Holy cow.
Yeah, from 25 grams of fiber, and his is 50 to 100 grams of fiber from real food. Wow. I'm not so sure I'm in that category yet.
I guarantee you most of us probably aren't. Wow. I don't remember hearing that number before.
Yeah, that blew me away when I read it. Because weren't we talking before more about, like, in the vicinity of 35?
I think so. That's a lot of fiber. I mean,
indeed.
You'd have to eat a few cans of beans every day, nonstop.
well, you say you know what that... What that goes along with is the ideal form of discharge in that arena, and that is a cow pie, and that's probably about right, you know, compared to the American formation.
100 grams?
Well, 50 to 100, you know, that, I mean, that's double the range when you take it from 50 and 30.
That's a wide range.
Yeah, it is, and 30 to 50 is not that much, but, you know, depending on your intake and, you know, what would you get in a smoothie because you're just drinking that when
it's
you
not
put
much
these.
The Vital Balance doesn't have fiber, which is so kind of surprising.
Right, yes. Yes, that was another reason that as I was reading this, it jumped into my head, you know, that maybe we should talk about that because there isn't any great amount at all of fiber in the Vital Balance, so
well,
it is a necessary part of what we're doing.
I would think that is in part to get the quick reaction, because it's not going to, obviously, if we get the reaction that we're getting, it's not all going through the, it's not going through the digestive system. It's being very quickly absorbed by the body. And so whenever there's fiber present, it's a slower process going through the body. And yet we need that. So, you know, all the more reason for me to think, hey, I don't see anything wrong at all in having a great green smoothie. In addition, especially in the summertime when we're expending, you know, maybe more energy outside and so forth, at least I will be. And that being just a regular part of the day, it's quick, it's easy, it's something I can do ahead of time, and I love it. You know, it's not that I don't want to eat the real food and I don't want to have the chewing action, but it's just another addition that, I have felt has been very healthy for me. So, you know, there's lots of ways of getting it in. And then, of course, when we start looking at the when I walk, I always pick and eat berries and look at the amount of fiber you're getting from those. So I'm sure at different times, and you can see the difference in the way your body responds, you know, with your elimination, and that's very, very healthy. So that could be the reason for the wide range in part, that it's not going to be consistent every day.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's just important for us to, you know, I hadn't thought about that, Char, with the morning with the KVB that we do, and not having the fiber in it, that it gets where it's supposed to go and do what it's supposed to do faster. And probably the reason why Dave Balzer and Roger Drummer are saying drink the KVB in the first thing in the morning with only water, so that it doesn't block any of that fast intake and usage.
Yeah,
so,
I want it as quick as I can get it, and it seems to perform really, really well for me that way.
Has anyone tried putting it under your tongue?
No.
Well, not really holding it there, but I do sip mine. I don't drink it down quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, like we do with the jade.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in powder form or in liquid form?
Oh, the powder.
Powder.
Oh, yeah.
That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. Good idea, Nancy. I'm game for a little new test.
It has a great flavor, so you're not fighting anything on that.
Yeah, I like the taste of the powder.
Yeah.
So you've done that?
If it drips on the counter as I'm pouring it into the shaker, I'll wet my finger and put it in my mouth.
Right.
And
I
haven't directly put it under my tongue. Actually, I think I just thought maybe I should put some in a jar and take it to the hospital with me and do that.
There you go. You know what? I'm gonna try it right now. No time like the present.
I think it'll absorb really. I think it'll dissolve really quickly. Much quicker than the jade.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because it's finer.
Oh, it definitely does. I thought maybe it would pack more, but it doesn't seem to have that reaction still under my tongue. But
right into your blood.
I think that's a great idea. You know, we could put that in a, like you said, to go to the hospital with you. You can have that in your car and everything else, and or in your purse, and as you're going along, if you have any great cravings and hungers, you can just use it that way. Why not?
Just for a pick-me-up.
Yeah. Just take an empty jade jar and stick it in there. Relabel it, or don't even bother. Well, I put some label on it, I guess, but just, you know. But no, I think that's a great idea. I'm, you know, hey, that's what the brains together are for. You guys think?
I definitely like that.
Very definitely. So, anybody else have anything to discuss or talk about?
Let me ask y'all a question. I had kind of this, even though I've got an allergy or I've developed kind of a cold, and I have not had anything in years. And then on the medicine that the doctor called in for me when I called him, because I didn't know whether I was taking a cold or I still don't, or if I've got just allergies. And on the medicine it says, do not take any type of diet medicine with this medicine. Do you think our I haven't had my drink this morning yet. Do you think our drink is considered a diet? But it's all whole food, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider it that. You know, my mentality. What's yours, Nancy, Betty?
Absolutely not.
They're talking about the amphetamine.
Well, I just thought, gosh, I don't think it is, and I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and I hadn't done it yet, and I thought I'd ask y'all. I just don't know what.
It's important to take it.
Ma'am?
It's all whole food, Mary Lou, and they're talking more about the upper.
Has arrived. All right.
Okay, anybody else with anything before we kind of wrap it up?
Thanks for the info, Betty. It was good.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Ditto, ditto.
I just had one little thing that I thought was kind of interesting that I pulled off the website, speaking of not taking everything on the news and the websites as gospel, but I was just thinking that this on Coca-Cola and the sodas and all that kind of stuff, and thinking about what we're trying to do as far as educating people. And so what this article said was last year the volume of soda consumed in the U.S. fell to levels not seen since 1996. The annual drop was just 1.2%, but it's the eighth year in a row that Coke, Pepsi, and other soda makers have seen declines.
Wow, I wonder why.
Yeah, well, you know, doesn't that ring a bell with all the other things that they're coming out with, the vitamin waters and everything else?
Or are they drinking those energy drinks instead of?
Yeah, indeed.
That's interesting to see where they're going.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, Nancy. It just was like, aha, okay, the puzzle is coming together.
They're shifting more unhealthy.
Yes. Or we can hope that the awareness is coming up and a few people are making the positive change to water, much more
not
positive.
Not bottled.
Right. And, you know, just because if we get to that tipping point, it can start going that way, guys. That's what it's all about. We know how much is built on education and awareness in our business.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what we're all about.
Yes, indeed. So that's all I have. Anybody else? Last comments? Okay. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you all for your participation. You're wonderful, and I love you all.
Take care.
Appreciate you much.
Thanks, Betty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, Steve.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.